This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Come March, they are coming off. Masks. For kids. Maybe. It depends. So here's where we are. Governor Charlie Baker announced earlier today that the Commonwealth will not extend the statewide mask mandate for schools. It will expire after February 28th. This includes early education and care. Here is the governor earlier today.
It's time to give our kids a sense of normalcy and lift the mask mandate on a statewide basis for schools.
Federal law still requires masks on buses, however, and individual school districts will be free to make their own decisions, as will families, and families will want to make their own decisions, too. Plus, a mask on a 5-year-old in school is something really different than, say, a mask on a 15-year-old. So what are the developmental trade-offs? If it becomes discretionary, what do families need to know? What do communities need to know? What do school districts need to know? Well, here to help us answer those questions, Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett, Vice Chair of Family Medicine at Boston Medical Center, and Professor Dana Bentley, Assistant Professor in Early Childhood Programs at Lesley University and a classroom teacher at Buckingham Brown and Nichols School in Cambridge. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm going to start by asking opinions. Dr. Gergen-Barnett, are you pleased to see this call from the Commonwealth?
Well, I am very pleased that our rates of COVID-19 are going down in the community. I'm very pleased that hospitalization rates are going down. And obviously, we continue to work hard on vaccinations. I think this is a very complicated issue in terms of the mask mandates. And even just in your introductory remarks, with all the maybes and the caveats and the local decision making, I do think that it is time to start making some off-ramp decisions. But I know as we will unpack in our time together, I think there need to be really clear metrics about what each state is looking at for those metrics. And, you know, frankly, as of February 1st, we know that only about 51% of our 5 to 11-year-olds were vaccinated or even had just one shot, so not even fully vaccinated. And we know at a place like Boston Medical Center where I work, those rates are lower, and there is a health disparity question in the play here as well. So really excited to have this conversation with my guest. And co-host.
Yeah, Professor Bentley, do you agree with Dr. Gergen-Barnett's assessment there? Anything you would say differently or double down on?
Oh, I feel like she's speaking to exactly what we're feeling as teachers, both in the classroom with young children as well as thinking overall about young children. I think that I'm thrilled to hear that rates are going down. I'm so happy that the possibility of vaccinations being open to even younger children, being a teacher of 4- and 5-year-olds, I'm excited about that. I think we need to think really carefully about what it means to be safe, what that looks like, and the fact that this is going to be different for different ages, different classrooms. The realities in an early childhood childcare center are going to be very different from the realities in a high school. And while I really miss seeing my children's faces, I also love that we're able to be together in person at school. And for me as a teacher and as a teacher educator, the goal is really to be together in school safely. And what do we need to do to make that continue to happen for our students?
All right. So many questions based on the things the two of you just said. Dr. Gergen-Barnett, I'm going to come back to you for a minute. I want to pick up on a thread for you, the calculus here. So I'm going to stipulate everybody, the both of you are wanting to see us get to a point where kids don't have to be in masks in schools. It sounds like the core metric for you, Dr. Gergen-Barnett, is vaccination rates. Is that correct?
That is absolutely one of the core metrics. We obviously, you know, need to be looking at the COVID-19 rate of infection in communities, the transmission in communities, and of course, you know, what we think about here in the hospital is hospitalization rates. So those are some of the core metrics that I think everybody has a slightly different take on, but obviously we want it all to be going in the right direction, which is happening in Massachusetts.
So I know that Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, in a sneak preview of the metrics she'd be using to think about rolling back things like vaccine requirements in certain public spaces in Boston, has said that hospitalization rate you'd need to see hospitals and especially intensive care units at below 95% capacity. I think it's hard for families looking at a school to be saying, what my 7-year-old does in school depends on a hospitalization capacity, you know. So how do we think about that, Dr. Gergen-Barnett?
Yeah, such a good, you know, important question. I think that families are going to have a really different set of evaluation tools in terms of what's important to them. I think, you know, we know that families are, kids live oftentimes in units with lots of different kinds of people at home. So thinking about, you know, who's vulnerable in their home, what do they need to be thinking about? Either very little siblings who can't get vaccinated or much older people or people with chronic conditions that make them more vulnerable. I think, you know, families are also going to be wanting to look around and know what's happening in their communities. How much transmission is there? And how much are we getting the accurate reporting about transmission based on, again, a lot of our data coming from PCR tests and not necessarily reported home tests? So I think the more that schools are working with local public health departments and the state on reporting transmission in communities and in schools, the better. And I think that families also need to know that schools are simultaneously working on things like air quality and making sure that the air in their kids' schools are excellent, and you know, testing continues. And then finally, what are we going to do in terms of if rates go back up? So not only do you need clear metrics about what allows you to take the mask off, but then you need to know that people are watching carefully and we're not just taking it off without thinking about how we put it back on and if we need to put it back on. Look, I think we all want to get to a place where we feel more comfortable, but we need really clear roadmaps.
So, Professor Bentley, I'm going to turn back to you. Everything Dr. Gergen-Barnett has laid out are the types of metrics and the important public health measures that we've been talking about in this pandemic. It can be a lot for a family or even a school or a school district to be keeping track of. I'd like to add another piece now, which is real questions about developmentally for kids. Are there age cohorts where there is a developmental delay or a developmental cost to this half the face missing behind a mask?
Well, there's always going to be a challenge when you're not able to read facial expressions when there's a piece of cloth or fabric between your mouth and the rest of the world. It is complicated. And I just will say that we've been in person with children since the fall of 2020. And I've been amazed at the children's ability and teachers' ability to navigate the social complexities of mask wearing with children. And it's taken a lot of work working with the kids, learning how to read the tone of someone's voice, learning how to read someone's eyes. But the driving force with young children and really with all children is a social force. They want to be together. They want to connect with each other. They want to read each other's social cues. And I've really been amazed at their ability to do so. That said, there are a lot of kids for whom this is incredibly challenging. For children who work with speech delays, it is very complicated. For children, particularly children who are on the autism spectrum, having that layer between you and someone's facial expression when you're already working hard to really understand feelings, that adds another level of complexity. So there's no one answer to this. I would just say that I think that we've come a long way and kids are really doing a beautiful job, and there are also hard parts. So there's no way to say this is what we should do or this is the best way to be. There's only really looking at the situation, the child, the classroom, and trying to say, okay, this is the safest, best choice.
So I'm going to ask both of you, Professor Bentley, Dr. Gergen-Barnett, to sit tight for a minute because I want to do a call out to a school superintendent, one we've had regularly here on the show. Almia Beda is the superintendent for the Chelsea Public Schools, has dialed in to join us for a few minutes. Superintendent Beda, welcome.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
So a compound first question for you. Were you expecting this from the state? And are you going to take masks off in your schools after February 28th?
I do think we were expecting something from the state as we watched the COVID cases drop. And as for a community like Chelsea. We had already issued a mask mandate prior to the state issuing a mask mandate. So our mask mandate still remains. And that will be a discussion that our local community will need to have.
So we've talked with you extensively about your concerns for families, your concerns for kids, the vulnerability that Chelsea early on particularly had to the impacts of COVID-19, disproportionate impact, especially among a community of color there. With this moment, where it's now to your discretion again at the beginning of March, and where families will begin to make choices, is there something, I'm picturing, you know, you picturing masks and thinking on the one hand, oh, thank goodness, and on the other hand, but I worry about X all the time. What is the X when it comes to masks that you're worried about all the time?
I think the hesitation for our community, and Chelsea's a little unique, as you stated, we were hit really hard earlier in this pandemic. So I believe as a community, we've always been very aware of COVID and very cautious. We tend to tread more on the cautious side of things, especially when it came to masks. And so, like I said, we had already issued a mask mandate prior to it being mandated. So that mask mandate will still be in place until otherwise. And so I think that's important for us. So I think even if we were to lift it, we have high vaccination rates. Amazing. Our students, our older students, ages 12 and up, we're at 99% vaccination rates. And I attribute a lot of that to the fact that we were hit so hard with COVID. So once the vaccine came out, people were very keenly aware of the impact of COVID and did get vaccinated. Our vaccination rates of our little ones is still a little low for 5 to 11-year-olds. We are at about 50%, which is good, but it's still not all of our students. And so that would be a bit of a hesitation for us.
Just briefly, where would that number need to be for you to feel like you'd crossed some kind of Rubicon where you could consider taking the masks off?
I don't have like a number. I just feel like 50% still a little low. And that's a lot of our students, that's elementary. So I believe that we have to have more conversations with our local Department of Health, the school committee, with our school community before we lift the mask mandate.
All right. Superintendent of Chelsea Public Schools, Almia Beda, I know how busy your days are. Appreciate you taking a few minutes for us here at Radio Boston.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So turning now back to Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett and Professor Dana Bentley to continue this conversation. We've got a call on the line. I'd like to bring this voice in, 800-423-8255. Jay's on the line from Avon. Jay, go ahead.
Well, what we're concerned about is the fact that when people return from vacation, they're coming from all points on the compass, and some of these flights are hot spots, so definitely there are going to be infections. And I think that numerical data lies because you don't really have enough. So I feel very uneasy about that whole thing.
Thank you for that, Jay. And so, Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett, you already alluded to the fact that a lot of people take at-home tests. There's no reporting mechanism, so we're probably undercounting our cases, and we're pretty sure we're undercounting our cases here in the Commonwealth. And now Jay points out winter break will happen in February. Families will go places, and then they'll come back, and masks might come off. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's such a good point, Jay. And, you know, I think that Massachusetts has done a very good job of testing, and I know that a lot of schools are using pool testing. And I think, you know, as we're talking about masks coming off, I think we need to, again, ramp up the pressure on pool testing so it's not just catch-as-catch-can, you know, testing if families can or want to, but rather, you know, there's kind of pool testing that happens in schools, especially, you know, after break, but even just weekly. I think this is a really critical point. And so, again, it's how do we continue to lean into each other with integrity and trust about what are the risks that we're taking?
So I want to pick up on that. Turning to Professor Bentley, this idea of leaning into each other. So you surprised me a few minutes ago when you were talking about the way kids have adapted to reading social-emotional cues, finding ways to pick up on the face above the mask, you know, adapting. And you almost made it sound like there's maybe some new skills being developed, and obviously we'd like all the skills to be developed. Are there opportunities for lessons here for our youngest especially about interdependence, about being in it together, about being good neighbors, et cetera, that this presents as an opportunity?
It's such a good question. And it's actually when we were going into the classrooms fall of 2020, we thought a lot about how do we frame this as a space of care, community, and empowerment for children rather than a space of fear. You know, we had kids coming in who just come off of being quarantined and who were facing school for the first time, needing to wear masks, and there was a lot of fear in the air. And what we talked about with the kids is that we wear these to take care of each other. We're not focusing on this is going to keep you safe, but you are keeping others safe by doing this, and that this is a hard thing to do, and that we're proud of you, that we know it makes things really complicated, and we're going to do all of these things to help make sense of the stuff that's hard to see and know with masks on. And you need to know that you are powerful and you are amazing because you're taking care of others in your community. And that's really been the messaging that we've used as a school community for our children. And I feel like they've really taken that up and come to understand that. And it's what I would really, just thinking back to the caller's question, it's what I really want to ask parent communities to do as well. That, you know, our responsibility here is to keep our kids in school. I'm the parent of three children as well as the teacher of young children. And we want our kids to be together in school. And in order for that to happen, we have to be careful and we have to all take on that kind of role that our young children have, where they're saying, hey, I'm going to do this hard thing because it's going to keep us safe and because it's going to make us able to come together as a community in school.
So I want to pick up on almost the inverse of that point. And it's an important point. Thank you for it. I'm going to use it as a foil to turn back to Dr. Gergen-Barnett. Okay, so now you have a school district that does lift a mask mandate once the state is not mandating it anymore. And you've got a young person in the school who is masked, but the people around that young person are not. How effective is that mask for that young person?
Well, you know, we probably have had a million conversations about the quality of masks, right? So a lot of it is around the quality of a mask, and masks are very effective in protecting kids. Obviously, if everyone's mask is more protective, but it's still very protective. And, you know, but to go back to that kind of social emotional piece, it's, you know, I really, as I continue to sort of, or as we all continue to cast our eye towards the horizon, thinking very carefully about how can we have collective conversation again about where are we going? How can we have everybody on the same page? Because how are we going to support kids' mental health and well-being, which is on the top of mind for so many of us, as well as the learning, if we are saying, well, you know, I know that it's hard because grandma lives at home with us, but you need to keep your mask on, but nobody else is going to have their mask on. That's going to feel really tough for kids. So how are schools going to be supporting those kids? And how are they going to be doing a pulse check of classrooms and where kids are at in terms of being kind to each other, but also really keeping each other safe if there's a large cohort of kids with immunocompromised people at home or whatever it may be. And really, again, we need to take masks off at some point. We need to come out of this pandemic, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to hold on to masks forever, but I do think there needs to be careful conversations at each school and in each classroom about how this is going to work to make sure that we're supporting all of the kids and teachers as we're looking towards this horizon.
Thank you for that, Professor Bentley. I've got, maybe 30 seconds left. So just in a couple of sentences, the message to teachers who will now ride a new roller coaster for the next few months, just briefly.
I guess my message is to hold tight to each other and to help carry ourselves through this process. None of this has been easy. And it's also felt amazing to be able to be there in there with children, helping them to make sense of this process and doing what we do best, which is caring for children, teaching children, and keeping our communities together. I wish that there were a way to know that we would be able to keep everyone safe, but I feel lucky to be a part of this teaching community.
And that is Dana Bentley, assistant professor in early childhood programs at Lesley University, also a classroom teacher at Buckingham Brown and Nichols, and Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett, vice chair of family medicine at Boston Medical Center. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.